We're going to start here at the bottom of Kuftet Vav Amud Bet, three lines from the bottom. Amamar, Hakol Ksherim Lahakriv. The Braita that we brought earlier on the Amud says that you can bring anything. And the Gemara wants to know, Menahani Mili, what do you mean you can bring anything? So Amar Rav Huna Damar Kra. Pasuk says, Vayve Noach Mizbeach Lashem, Yikach Mikol HaBehem HaTohora, Mikol Ofa Tohor, Behema Kimashma'o. Chaya bichla behema. So to start out, any behema, because it says literally that he brought kol behema to orach. So there you have the behemot. Chaya, the fact that you can bring a chaya is because chaya is bichlal behema. It's the same category, it's subsumed in the word behema. Zicharim v'nekevot, tmimim ubalimumim. How do we know that those are also included? Here it's not clear. According to Rashi, a lot of this girsa is eliminated. The Gemara would continue then, lafuke mechuser ever. Balimumim means that you can have a mum, but you can't have a mechuser ever delo. And we'll see why that is in a second. If you do read that girsa, if you add in the girsa here, there's a damamar, tamud v'zichrut bebeima, vein tamud v'zichrut beofot. That there is, tamud v'zichrut is applied to behemot, it's not applied to ofot, v'itkish behema le'of. Over here, the ofot and behemot are put into the same category. So just like by ofot, there's no din of zichrut and tamut, so too, there won't be such a din by the behemot. Tmimim ubalimumim. And then it says, tmimim ubalimumim, and then the balimumim is afukim mechuser efer. It just comes to exclude mechuser efer. So that would be to read the in-between section. I'm not sure it's necessary because the idea of exclusion of mumim and of tamut and zichrut only applies once the Torah is given. Once the Torah is given, then you have such instructions. If you don't have such instructions, there's no reason to believe that in the keva or zachar or tamut, any of these things should be problematic. And that's probably why Rashi eliminates that girsa, because he says, the ma'iria kodem matan Torah, achar chachamata mishkan, nami ita. Says, what do you mean? What do you mean before matan Torah? Even after the Kamata Mishkan, these still apply. I mean, there's ein tamud v'zichrut be'ofot. The hekesh, the behema, doesn't exist, because by behema there is such a din that you need tamut, and you need zichrut, at least for certain in the karbanot. So I'm not sure whether the girsa belongs or doesn't belong over here. But what the Gemara is going to focus on now is that for a ben noach, the din is slightly different. The din for a ben noach, as opposed to a Yehudi, by Yehudi, we have all the list of the balimumim that are found in Parshat Emor for the behemot. For a ben noach, they do not have a din in mumim, they only have a din in mechusarei ever. Only mechusarei ever are problematic. So the one wants to know, how do we know this? And this we've learned together in Avodah Zarah. We did this sugi together in Avodah Zarah. I'm Rabbi Lazar. Minayin mechuser eiver sheneasa lebnei noach. How do we know if it's missing a limb that for bnei noach it's not acceptable? Tamad omar umikol achai mikol basar amra Torah have beima shachayin roshe evarim shela. So when Noach is taking the behemot into the teva, Torah instructs him to take mikol achai mikol basar. So they darshan. What does that mean? That means beima shachayin roshe evarim shela. Beima whose roshe evarim, its main evarim are all intact. Mar says, well, dilma lemute treifa. Wait a minute. Well, how do you know that's talking about that all of its limbs must be intact? Maybe it's coming to tell you, don't bring a treifa. So Mar says, we already have a din for treifa. Bahum l'chayot zera. Chayot zera, someone who can reproduce. Nafka. From there, we learn that out of melchayot zera nafka. Anicha lamanda amar treifa, I know you'll let that. That works according to one who says that a treifa is unable to reproduce. So then, melchayot zera, I'll know now that you can't bring a treifa. Amanda amar treifa, you'll let it. That a treifa is able to reproduce. Ma'ika lamemar. Then where do you have a proof? Where do we have a source for the fact that a treifa is not allowed? Elohim came, we learn it out. Mikol achai. Mikol achai means something that's going to live and stay alive. That's something that's not a treifa. So Gemara says, Amar Kra, Itcha, Bedomim Lecha. That when he takes Noach, listen to the Teva, that the animals are with him, Itcha, Bedomim Lecha. They have to be similar to you. So Gemara asks, Bedomim Noach, Bufei Treifa Havo. Maybe Noach himself was a Treifa. When it says Itcha, Bedomim Lecha, maybe they are Domim Lecha. He's a Treifa, so he's bringing Treifa into the Teva. So Gemara says, Tamim Ktivbe, Dilma Tamim Bidrachav, Tzadik Ktivbe. It's no evidence about his physical appearance, whether he's a treifa or not. If you really think that Noach himself is a treifa, what type of instruction is that from the Torah? If Noach's a treifa, say, only bring treifa like you. Don't bring any good animals, just treifa like you. It makes no sense to give an instruction that says, if Noach himself is a treifa. That type of instruction is implausible, it's not understandable whatsoever. The only way the Torah would instruct him to bring someone like him is if he wasn't the Trefa, then you could say the Torah got its way to instruct him to bring Bedomim Lecha. If there's something wrong with him to instruct only Bedomim Lecha, not Shlemim, that doesn't make any sense. So now the Gemara, okay, now we found this fact that source 4, the fact that Trefot were not brought onto the Tevaz from Itcha Bedomim Lecha. Me, Kol Achai, Mikol Basar, we learn out that Chayin Roshe Avarim Shela. From there we learn out that it has to be full, it can't be missing any Aver. So now we have one extra pasuk, which is Mechayot Zera. What do we learn from that pasuk? That we don't have any limud anymore. That's what the Gemara says. Machar Danafkalam Itcha Lechayot Zera Alamali. What do I need the pasuk for the Chayot Zera? What does it mean with you? The tzavta ba'alma, that you should have company on the teva with you. Afilu zakein, even an older animal, afilu saris, even an animal that was somehow castrated, that wasn't able to reproduce. Kamashim alone, that the animals that come not only are not trefot, but they also may have the ability to reproduce. These are going to be the animals that restart life after the teva, and therefore they have to be able to reproduce. So those are the three psukim that give us the three different dimensions of the behemot. One is itcha, bedomim lecha, that they may not be trefot, which are the ones that you bring onto the teva. Number two is they must be able to reproduce, that we learn out of lechayot zera. And they also must have all their evarim, they may not be missing an evar, and that we learn out, mikol achai, mikol basar. For that we learn out that chayim roshe evarim shela, and that will be our source that a korban of a ben noach may not be missing evarim. Because what does Noach do with the behemot that he brings on, the behemot of Torot that he brings on to the teva? He's makriv them al mizbeach when he gets out. So it must be that they have roshei avarim shalem. That's an instruction to tell us that they may not be missing an eifer when you put them on the mizbeach. So now, we had in this list of items that are allowed to be mukrav before Matan Torah, and one of them says, Teorim v'alo tmeim. They can be tahor, but they can be tamei. Well, how does that make any sense? If we're talking about prior to Matan Torah, how is there such a distinction of tahor and tamei? Tahor and tamei is a distinction that's drawn by the Torah after Matan Torah. So how could it be that here there's an instruction that you can only bring behemot teorot? So that's the Gemara asks here. Umiyavu tmeim utarim, b'hayishato. At that time, is there such a concept called tamei and tahor? So Amar Bishmo bar Nachmeni and Yonatan, meotan shelo nebda behen aveira. Teorim does not mean literally tahor like we think about tahor, tamei, kosher, not kosher today. But rather, it's meotan shelo nebda behen aveira. These were animals that were clear of any aveira. And those are the midrashim that we've seen before by the Gabay Noach, that not only was Adam Mekalkel Durachav, but even the Behemot Mekalkel, they were mixed breeding. There were problems even with the Behemot. So Noach was only allowed to bring onto the Teva those animals that didn't succumb to this deviant behavior. So then where it says, Menahava Yodeh, how do you test this? How does Noach know who is Tahor or who is not Tahor? He has no way of knowing that. Ked Rav Chista, Adam Rav Chista, Eviram Lifnei Teva. It's a test that we see in other places, that they brought him before the Mishkan, they brought him before the Urim V'Tumim, in order to have a test. This is a similar type of idea. They brought him before the Teva, and the Teva is being a Klei Kodesh, in a sense. It was only accepted those animals that were Ruim to come into the Teva. That means those animals that did not sin. In a Teva Kolatatan, if the Teva does not accept them, Be'adush and Tameim, then we know that they were Tamei. Rabbi Abba Umar, Amar Kra, V'Habaim Zachar V'Nekeva. Habaim, those that came, were male and female. Habaim, Melehem, they came of their own accord. Meaning that the animals who had the drive or initiative to come were only animals that were Sherim or Tehorim. That happened by itself. Amamar. So again, we're going back to the Breita. Bakol kervu olot. Only olot were brought. When it comes to a Mizbeach of a Ben Noach Abama, prior to Matan Torah, they only brought olot. That was the only type of korban that was brought. Olot in shlamim lo. The implications are you can bring olot, you cannot bring shlamim. Ba'aktiv, doesn't it say, by Har Sinai, ba'yiz b'chuz v'chim shlamim la'ashem parim? At the foot of Har Sinai, Shmuel Perech Avdal, the end of Parshat Mishpatim, according to Rashi, this is prior to Matan Torah. According to Ramban, it's even post-Matan Torah, but prior to the building of the Mishkan. So you're still in a time period with this Heter Abamot, and you see over here that they're bringing these b'chus b'chim shlamim la'ashem parim. The shlamim b'mrat. Ella Ema say like this: Akol kervu olot u'shlamim. That the only korbanot that are permitted over here at this point in time are olot and shlamim. So they amended to read olot and shlamim. Gemara says, wait a minute, does that really work? Because v'atanya aval shlamim lo. We have a braita that explicitly says not just positive statement that they were all olot, but also the negative formulation, which is that no shlamim are allowed. Allah shlamim lo, kiim olot. Olot in, shlamim lo. It sounds like from that braita that you can only bring olot, you can't bring shlamim. Mar says, k'man damar lo kirvu shlamim b'nei noach. That's like the one who says that the b'nei noach did not bring shlamim. Basically, the Mar is saying, it's a machloket. A machloket whether B'nai Noach were entitled to bring Shlamim. Now, as far as B'nai Yisrael are concerned, B'nai Yisrael were allowed to bring Shlamim because Mimshat Matan Torah, Shinivcharu Yisrael, once B'nai Yisrael were chosen as the people, they were entitled to bring Shlamim. So even according to the one who says B'nai Noach are not entitled to bring Shlamim, B'nai Yisrael at the foot of Har Sinai, in Perachot Dalet and Shemot, they were allowed to bring Shlamim. So the only question now is prior to that point in time when either B'nai Yisrael were classified as B'nai Noach or B'nai Noach in general, are they allowed to bring Shlamim or not? So the reconciliation is that there's a machloket. Ditmar, Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi Bar Chanina, Chadamar kirvu Shlamim B'nai Noach, Chadamar lo kirvu. Here is the machloket. Whether B'nai Noach brought Shlamim or not. My time of the Mandamar kirvu Shlamim B'nai Noach, what's the reasoning behind the one who says that B'nai Noach brought Shlamim Dichtiv? Vehevel, Evi Gam Ho, Me Bechorot Sono, Umi Chel Behen. Which korban only has the chalev that goes on the mizbeach? Vein kulo karev the gabim mizbeach, but not the entirety of the animals placed on the mizbeach. Avi omer zeh shlamim. Hevel brought a shlamim. So my time at the mandamar lo kirvu. Who's according to one who says that they did not bring shlamim dichtiv? Because it says in Shir Hashirim, Uri tzafon uvoi teman. Waken those in the north. Come those from the south. So he explains it. Titnaari uma shemaseh b'tzafon. Come forth. All those, the nations whose Maaseh B'Tzafon, which Korban has Maaseh B'Tzafon, that's the Olah, because that's a Kodshei Kodashim. So let those nations that only deal with Olot, let them come forward. V'tuvah Umash Maaseh B'Tzafon U'B'Darom. And let those nation that has a Maasim both B'Tzafon and Darom, what's Darom? Darom is Kodshim Kalim, Eshlamim. So it's referring to the other nations and to B'nai Yisrael. The other nations only Tzafon. They only have a din in Tzafon, they only bring Olot. B'nai Yisrael have a din in Tzafon and Darom, they bring Olot and Shlamim. So that would be the meaning of the pasuk. Umar namiktivu mechel behem. According to the Mando Amar who says that they did not bring Shlamim, what does he do with mechel behem by Hevel? He says, Misham nehem didu. Mechel behem doesn't mean what they put on the mizbeach, but rather the description of the animals from the fattest, from the best of those animals. Amar namiktiv uri tzafon. Doesn't he have the pasuk uri tzafon avoid teman? Hobi kibbutz galayotu dichtiv. That's saying about where the people are going to come from. They'll be coming from the north, they'll be coming from the south. It's not talking about what korbanot. It's not a description of the nation, the northern nations, or the nations that only bring in the north. No, it's just telling you where they're coming from. Vaktiv, that by Paro, says, Moshe says to Paro, Vaktiv. Now, Zvachim, I don't know what those are. But if it says Olot afterwards, that means Zvachim are certainly not Olot. So what are Zvachim? Zvachim are going to be Shlamim. So Moshe is telling to Paro, you're going to give us animals in order that we're going to bring Karbanot. And those Karbanot are going to be both Shlamim and Olot. And this is prior to Matan Torah, now prior to Sinai. So Moshe says, no, Zvachim la'achila v'olot akrava. Zvachim is a code word for Zvach, to be Shech. So these were chulin, animals that they're going to eat, not shlamim necessarily. Ve'olot lakrava v'aktiv. And here's the question from Yitro. Vayikach Yitro choten Moshe ola uzvachim. Choten Moshe prior to Har Sinai, they brought ola uzvachim. Again, zvachim juxtaposed to ola, it's got to mean that zvachim is shlamim and not olot. Ha'ula achar matan Torah u'dichtiv. And we did this earlier in the Masechta. The machlok is about when Yitro came to visit. Even though the parsha of Yitro and the description in Torah is prior to Matan Torah, indicating that it was before Matan Torah, there's a machloket whether Yitro came before Matan Torah or after Matan Torah. Manicha l'mandamar Yitro achar Matan Torah. Yeah, that makes sense. It works according to the one who says it's emukdamu muhar b'Torah, and Yitro came after Matan Torah. If he came before Matan Torah, what are you going to do about the Shlamim that are brought here? Ditmar, B'nai Rabbi Chia, who are Yehuda v'Chizkia, Rabbi Yeshua ben Levi, Chadamar Yitro Kodem Matan Torah, Chadamar Yitro Achar Matan Torah, this is a machloket. The man Amar Yitro Kodem Matan Torah, Kasavar Shlamim Mikrivu B'nai Noach. There's your answer. The one who thinks that Yitro came before Matan Torah is going to hold like the data that says that B'nai Noach brought Shlamim. They just have to hold that way. Whoever thinks Yitro came before Matan Torah has got to believe that the Shlamim are brought before, or B'nai Noach are entitled to bring a shlamim. So now the Gemara says, kitznai, this is also a machloket tanaim, about whether Yitro was called a matan Torah. Before we go on to this, I just point out that the Gemara here never asks from Yaakov Avinu. Yaakov Avinu, when he's on his way down to Mitzrayim, he stops on his way down to Mitzrayim in Be'er Sheva. Over there, the Ramban comments about why over here did Yaakov actually bring karbonot that were different than all the other avot. All the other avot brought olot. On the other hand, Yaakov, on his way down to Mitzrayim, it says, Vayisai Yisrael v'chol ha'shalom, vayavo be'irah sheva, vayizbach zvachim l'elukei aviv Yitzchak. So as opposed to all the other avot where it says that they brought olot, here it says, Vayizbach zvachim. And Ramban and many of the Rishonim pick up on Vayizbach zvachim means that he brought shlamim. Maybe here the Gemara, it's not mukhrach, because all it says there is Vayizbach zvachim, it doesn't mention olot. In all the other cases, it says zvachim and olot, so it's clear that the zvachim are not olot. By Yaakov Avinu, it's ambiguous in the Pasuk, because it says Vayizbach zvachim, it's unclear as what the meaning of the word zvachim is. Even though generally, when we see the word zvachim, we mean shlamim, as we see in all the other instances where you have olot and zvachim. Maybe here, the Gemara doesn't bring it, because it's not mukhrach that it's shlamim. Could have been olot. I'm just pointing it out, that the Gemara never asks that question. Again, maybe just because it's not mukhrach. Alright, now, the Gemara continues today, but this is actually a machlokas tanaim, whether Yitro came before Matan Torah, and this is also a little bit difficult. What did he hear? He was nitgayer. Rabbi Yeshua Meir Mechemet Amalek Shema. Makes a lot of sense. What's the Pasha right before? You have the end of Pasha Pishalach. What's the last 9 psukim in Pasha Pishalach? That's Mechemet Amalek. Yitro starts right after that. In Yonad Yomo, that's the Kriya for Purim Day. Here's the last 9 psukim in Pasha Bishalach. Right after it says, Vayishma Yitro. So what did he hear? He heard Mechamat Amalek. Shereikiti b'tzido, Vayichlosh Yoshua et Amalek, et Amol ufi chorev. Lezer Modai Omer Matan Torah Shema Uba. He heard about Matan Torah and came. Kishe nitna Torah, Yisrael ayar kolo oleich misufolom v'yatzufo. That because when Hashem gave the Torah, the sounds, the fireworks, everything was heard from one end of the world to the other. V'kol malcheu b'dek chavim achazdan ra'ada. They're all trembling in fear, v'heichaleihem in their houses. Amru Shira. And then they began to sing Shira. Shina Amar, and the Gemara is going to prove this in a second. So here the machlokas is, when did Yitro happen? If Yitro happens prior to Matan Torah, it's obviously they didn't hear about Matan Torah, but he heard about Mechemet Amalek, which makes sense, which is the juxtaposition of the psukim over there. On the other hand, if he came after Matan Torah, the item or the event that makes the most sense that he heard was that it was Matan Torah, because that was greater than all the other events, which is the Gemara is going to talk about over here, the greatness of the event of Matan Torah. Just to note, the Ramban, in discussing Yitro, in the beginning of Parashat Yitro, says famous shita that is mukdam u'muchar b'Torah, that the Torah is in order unless it stipulates otherwise, and therefore the Ramban has to believe that Yitro came prior to Matan Torah. What's one of the proofs of the Ramban that Yitro came before Matan Torah? Because when Yitro says to Moshe all the things that he heard, what does he not mention? He doesn't mention Matan Torah. That's one of the things he doesn't mention. That would have been the greatest of events for him to mention. The fact that it's absent in his description to Moshe of what he heard, Yishma Yitro v'yichad, was he didn't hear about Matan Torah. The Ramban says that's a proof he came before Matan Torah. So just say over here, Rabbi Elazar Modei says it was after Matan Torah, that's what he heard about. It's not mentioned in the Psukim. Just to note, that's Ramban's proof about why it was prior to Matan Torah. Right, so now we quote the Tilim that we say at Kabbalat Shabbat, the one that we stand up for because of this, because of the Kolot that are describing, they have the Shemot Hashem in there, and describing Mamad Har Sinai. It says there, Uvei Chalo Kolo Mer Kavod, Nikabsu Kula Meitzel Bil'am HaRasha. They all gathered with Bil'am HaRasha, who was their Navi, who could tell him about Ramlo? Ma kol ha'amon asher shamanu. What's this great noise? All these voices that we heard. Shema mabul bali olam. Maybe there's a new flood coming to the world. That's what all this noise is. Bo yashab. Maybe Hashem is bringing a mabul. Amalem vayeshev Hashem melech leolam. No, Hashem remains the king forever over His peoples. Barnishba kodesh boch husheni mevi mabul leolam. Hashem already promised He's not going to bring a mabul anymore. So Amru lo mabul shomaymin umevi. Maybe He won't bring a mabul of water. Ava mabul sheish mevi. Maybe He'll bring a mabul of fire. No, what that means exactly, but there'll be some sort of consuming fire, all-consuming fire that'll come and eat us up. Shinamar, ki be'esh Hashem nishpat, that Hashem judges through fire. Amalem kvar nishpat, sheinu mashchit kol basar. He already promised that He's not going to destroy humankind anymore. So ma kol ha'amon hazeh sheshamanu. What is it that we heard then? What is it? We were afraid we heard this. Amalem, chem da tova yesh lo bebeit ginazav. Hashem has in His storehouses this precious gift. Sheita gnuzai etzlo tafka ad dorot. That was with with him for 974 generations before the world was created. And now he wants to give it to his children. Because me Adam ad Moshe until the giving of the Torah, there are 26 dorot. So the 26 plus the 974 together make up 1,000. And that's what the pasuk means. Devar tziva le'elev dor. Dor means the 26 plus the 974 that were prior to that. So that's how Devar tziva le'elev dor, referring to the Torah. So Yeshua Bebek Nasav Shaitok Nuzalitzlo, and now he wants to give it to his banav. Shneamar, Hashem Oz la Moiten. Hashem wants to give Oz. Oz referring to the Torah. As Rashi says, Ma'uzan Shel Israel. The strength of Israel comes from their Torah. So Hashem Oz la Moiten. Hashem wants to give that Oz, that Torah, to Bnei Israel. So what happens then? Mayad Pitchu Kulam, all of them open up in Shira and say, Hashem Yivareich et Amo Shalom. Hashem should bless his nation, Bishalom, with peace. So that's Rav Elazar Modai's idea that Yitro came Achar Matan Torah. And how did he hear about it? He heard about it because everybody heard about Matan Torah. It was such a great event that everybody had heard about it, and we had that from this Midrash that discusses all the kings going to Bilam to ask what was transpiring at that moment. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Kriat Yamsuf Shema Uba. He heard about Kriat Yamsuf and came, Shinemar, Vahi Kishma Kol Malchei Amori. That it says that after all the Malchei Amori heard about the Yamsuf, and this is what Rachav describes to them, Rachav Zona Amra L'Shluchei Yoshua, then to Rachav Zona tells the Shluchei Yoshua, Ki Shamanu Et Asher Ovish Hashem Et Mei Yamsuf. That even Rachav Zona knew about the fact that they had Kriat Yamsuf, so certainly Yitro knew about the fact that there was Kriat Yamsuf. So Maishna Hotom, now the Gemara just says a little sidebar here. What's the difference that in Perek Hay, when Yoshua, after they cross over the Yardane, Yoshua describes to Bnei Israel why he's putting these stones here, so you'll tell your children about crossing through the Yardane, and he says that, V'lo haya bahem od ruach, that after all the nations heard about the fact that we crossed through the Yardane, that Hashem cleared out the Yardane, lo haya bahem od ruach, they didn't have any more will or spirit to stand in front of us. So that's the description after they crossed through to the Yardane. U'mayshna hocha dikamar. This is the description that Rachav HaZonah gives to the spies about Kriyat Yamsuf. Over there she says, V'lo kama od ruach be'ish. There was no spirit standing any more man to stand before you. So Gemara wants to understand the difference between, why is it says V'lo yabam od ruach? Over here it says V'lo kama od ruach. What's the difference between kama and hayabam? So here the Gemara describes the afilo akshu ye name lo akshu. The fear from the Kriyat Yamsuf was so great, greater than the Kriyat HaYardein. The fact that Bnei Israel passed through the Yamsuf was such a great event and known to them and brought more fear to them than the crossing through the Yardane, because it says here below kama. Lokama means that they were not even able to have an erection because of the fear. So that's umna yodo. How did she know? How did she know that? How could a Rachav make such a statement? The answer is because she's Rachav HaZonah. Says damar amar enlecha kosar v'nagich lo ba al Rachav HaZonah. That Rachav HaZonah had provided her services to all of the nobles and all of those of nobility in the time period that Bnei Israel were in the desert. Amru, bat yutshani maitak sheyatzu Yisrael mimitzrayim. She was 10 years old when Bnei Israel left Mitzrayim. Vizanta kol mem shana. She was a zunah for the 40 years that they were in the midbar. She was Yisrael mimidbar. Acharn nun shana, after 50 years, nitgaira, she converted. Amra yehei machuli beschar hevel chalon upishtim. That I should be forgiven with the reward for the hevel. What's the hevel? Is the rope by which she let the meraglim down from her place. The chalon upishtim is where she hid the meraglim when they came to her. She hid them up on the roof. And as Rashi points out, there was midah kineged midah. Michuta tanya ochi amra bin shalom begimo dereim chatati. I sinned with three things. Begimo yimchale. They should be mochel me with these three things. Bechevel upishtim chalon. Shum ne'afim olim eleha bechavalim derech chalon. That those that wanted to grab znut with her used to come up on ropes into the window, viordim, and they used to go down that way. Vigam timnam v'pishtei ha'etz, and she used to hide them up in the pishtim drying on the roof. Ubuto otan shkosha derim atzman zachta latzila shlichim. In the same way, she saved the miraglim. She let them out through the window. She gave them a chevel, a rope, to climb down through the window. Remember, her house is in the wall. V'chomahi yoshavet. She sits in the wall, so she lets them out of the wall. She's able to let them out of the city. And she hides them up in the pishtim. So the same things that she used to perform her znut, she also used to save the mirgla glim. Okay, so now the Gemara continues. Amamar. Ovdei kochavim bezman hazeh rishaim lasot kein. Ovdei kochavim today can bring bamot. Menahani mile. Tetan rabbanon daber al bnei Israel. Bnei Israel mitzuvim al shchut echutz. Ve'en ovdei kochavim mitzuvim al shchut echutz. Shchut echutz only has application to Jews. To bnei Israel does not have application to ovdei kochavim. Lefikach kol echad v'achad bonele bamot atzmo. Umakriv alei kol ma shirtzeh. As long as it's l'shem shamayim. Any ben of avodah zarah, any ben noach can go ahead and build a bamot in his backyard. Can have a barbecue in his backyard. He can bring whatever he wants on it. Amar Rabbi Yaakov Barach, Amar Rabbi Asi, they qualify this. Asur l'sayan, l'asot shlichutan. You can't help them. You can't participate in the bama, and you can't do their shlichut. You can't do their bidding in making such a bama. And then Amar Rabbo. Rabbo also qualifies this and says, ulorin ulohu shari, to instruct them, to give them halachic instruction about the bama, that's not a problem. So you cannot participate, you cannot be an active participant in the bama, but you give them instructions as how to do it, or the proper way to be makriv on a bama, hayom. Da kihad ifra hurmis, which we've seen before, ifra hurmis, who's ime de shavu malka, the mother of shavu malka. When Rashi brings in other places, we saw this before, that shavu malka, it's a machlokas, whether shavu malka was a Persian king, or shavu malka was a nickname for Shmuel. Over here is one of the proofs that it's not that's not the nickname for Shmuel, because it's Ifrahormis, who is the mother of the Persian king, Shavur Malka. Shadra Kurban al Rova. She decided that she wanted to bring a carbonot, she sends them to Rova. So now he's in a bind, because she just sent him a carbonot to be Makriv, and we just said you're not allowed to do it yourself. But what did Rova, or Rabba, it depends what the girsa is over here, the girsa might be Rova, in order to accord two stories, he would say that the statement before the qualification that Rova says, Orinu, that would be here too. Shalchale, Askua Niale L'Shem Shemaim. Take care of these for me, L'Shem Shemaim. Be Makriv them for me, L'Shem Shemaim. So Amalo, the Rav Safra, or the Rav Achar Barhuna, he says to his two talmidim in front of him, Zilu Vidabru Trey Ume Gulai. Go find for us two nice young Bnei Noach. Avodat Kochavim. Go find two nice young boys that are not Jewish. Gulai of the same age. And Rashi points out, why of the same age? He says, Kein Noila Davar. Looks good. It's aesthetically pleasing. V'chazu Eicha Demaska Yama Sirton. Go to a place where the ocean, sometimes when it's a tempest, when there's a storm, it overflows into that area and washes it up. And there you're going to be makriv de karbonot. Why? Because those are stones or rocks that we know that nobody used already. We know those are going to be a place where it's totally clean, virgin rock, that you can go ahead and be makriv on it. V'shaklutzi v'charate. Make sure you take brand new wood. V'afiku nura. Here it says mi marach harato, although the gears according to the shita mukubetzet is mi magano harato, from a new magano. I think that he means flint over here. That's what it sounds like. Take a new flint, that you can new flint stone to make the fire. Vasku ani ale the shem shemayim, and have them be makriva the shem shemayim. So you see here over here, Rova in doing the bidding of Ifra Hormiz, the mother of Shavur Malka, instructs his Talmidim to go ahead and then give instructions to these non-Jews to perform the Karbanot, or the Bamot, on behalf of this woman. Samale Abaye, come on. Who's this like? Abaye says, the Rabbi, who's this like? Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, the Tani, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Mer, my Mizbeach shlo ishtamesh bo hejot. Just like the Mizbeach has to be something that was not used for lay people's purpose, for mundane purposes, and that's why he went to choose a place where the ocean overflowed. Also the wood that is used for the fire that is placed on the Mizbeach, on the Bama, has to be something that was not used by lay people, was not used for mundane purposes. So it shouldn't be Shivrei Kelim, it shouldn't be old wooden vessels or something like that, it should be brand new wood. Vaha, Moder Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua be-Bama. Doesn't Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua agree by a Bama that you can use used wood, that you don't have to have brand new wood? D'tanya. Katuva Echad Omer, we've seen this before also. One pasuk says, "Vayitain David le'Ornan," that David gave to Ravna b'makom shiklei zahav nishkal sheish meot. David, in purchasing the area in Yerushalayim for the Mikdash, he buys it from a Ravna Yevusi. He pays him 600 gold coins. Uchtiv, and also says in Shmuel Bet, that was in Divrei Yamim, in Shmuel Bet it says, "Vayitain David et agoren bet abakar bekesef shkalim chamishim." There it says, purchasing the area for 50 shekel of silver. Haketzad. How do we reconcile between these? So now, this girsa in the Brayta seems to be a problematic girsa. Just telling you now, what we have in our Gemara, Rashi changes entirely. I'll read it, and then I'll tell you what Rashi says. Haketzad, gova mikol shevet shevet chamishim shein sheish meot. One way to solve the problem is to say that he took 50 shekel from each shevet, 12 shvatim, that adds up to 600. So reconciliation between the 50 and the 600 is the question of, is it the total sum, or if the sum that was collected from each shevet. That's one way to solve the problem. Now, according to, right, Kesef Zahav is ignored over here, in that solution, Kesef Zahav is ignored. We'll see again, the Gemara will deal that later, what the issue of Kesef Zahav is. Rabbi Omer Mishum Abba Yossi Ben Dustai. Over here, Rashi says that what we just said, was the statement of Rabbi Omer Abba Ben Dustai. That was their statement. Otherwise, you're going to have two statements in a row where they're exactly the same. Bakar ve'etzim u'makom izbeach menun. The bakar, the cattle, the etzim, the wood, and the makom ha'mizbeach, he would use the 50 for. U'akol ha'bayit kulo b'sheish menun. The 600 was for the remainder of the property. That was for the rest of the mikdash. Now you're going to see again, Rambam Elozer ben Shmuel Amar, bakar ve'etzim u'makom izbeach menun. U'akol ha'bayit kulo b'sheish menun. It's the exact same statement. So Rashi, to reconcile or to deal with that problem, says that Rabbi Omer Shabbat Yossi ben Dustai made the previous statement, which was Govar Mikol Shemit B'Shemit Chamishim Shein Sheish Miot. He made that previous statement. And then there's Rabbi Lozer ben Shamua makes the final statement. The other way to deal with it, if you look on the side, the Marsha in the Chiddushei Agadot eliminates the word Eitzim over here. If you do that, then you have two different opinions. You'd have Bakar u'makom mizbeach menun and Abayit kulo b'sheish miot. Or the other possibility is Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua says Bakar v'Eitzim u'makom mizbeach. So Eitzim are added in by Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua. Those are the two ways to solve the problem here of having two exact opinions. Either you eliminate Eitzim from the first opinion, or like Rashi, you move the Girsa to be that the Mikol Shevet V'Shevet Chamishin Shein Sheish Miot was the statement of Rabbi Omer Mishum Rabbi Yossi Ben Dustai. Nevertheless, what we're after here is Rabbi Lozer Ben Shemua's opinion. Over here, Rabbi Lozer Ben Shemua says that David purchased with the money there from a Ravna Yibusi Eitzim. And what does he do with the Eitzim? Dichtiv. Vayomer Ravna El David, Ikach, just take these. V'yal Adoni HaMelech HaTov Ve'enav, take what you want, Ra'eh Bakar Lola, take the cattle for an Ola, V'ha-Murigim U'klei HaBakar Le'etzim, and the Murigim, and the utensils of the Bakar of the cattle will be for Etzim. So you see, he's taking what were otherwise tools of the field. The Gemara will explain in one second what the Murigim are, that they take the tools of the field, and they use them to be Etzim for the Mizbeach. So you see, even Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua says that Eitzim have to be charete, they have to be brand new, like the Mizbeach. He doesn't say that about a Bama. Because over here, Rabbi Lozer ben Shemua said that David purchased the Eitzim from a Rabbi Yevusi. And what he purchased from a Rabbi Yevusi were clay, charisha, took the plowing and the utensils that were used by the cattle. So for Rava, how's Rava going to solve that problem? Rava Marachach, Hatam Nami Becharete, they were brand new. They were brand new, and that's why they were never used. They were brand new wood, there was nothing used, and therefore they were okay. Now Gemara asks, my Morigim. That's why I didn't translate it. But what are Morigim? This again is a Gemara that we had in Avodah Zarah. We saw this also. Amu'ula Mita Shel Turbal. It's a bed of Turbal. My Mita Shel Turbal. What's a Mita Shel Turbal? That doesn't help us anymore. So Gemara says, Amar Abai Iza de Karkasa. The Daishin Dishai. It is actually the threshing boards that are used by the animals that pull. They pull, the cattle pull these threshing boards over the vua in order to crush it. So they have, these are boards with charitzim that have grooves that are carved into them and have pegs sitting out of them, and they pull them. Behind them, the animals pull them along, and that crushes, that does the disha, that does the threshing of the tvua that is on the ground. And that's how they thresh it, with the threshing boards. And that's what these morigim are. Amar Abaye, Mikra. How do I know that? Because it says he needs some tich lemoreg charutz chadash bal pipiot. Then I'm going to make you like a moreg, this threshing utensil charutz chadash. It has a charitzim. It has grooves in it. Bal pipiot and many pipiot. It has many edges to it, which are either the pegs or some sort of sharp objects that stuck out from it that are part of this threshing process. Mikle Rava the Bray. Rava was teaching the psukim to his child, Viramile, and he said, cry, Ahadoti. He asked a question about these two psukim, the two psukim that we just mentioned before, about David purchasing Ravna Yivusi, where he has 50 and he has 600. How do we reconcile them? That he took 50 from each shevet that are 600. Now, Tzvi looks up at me and says, wait a minute, that doesn't solve the problem. How are you going to reconcile between the gold and the silver? Here the Gemara says, El Ochi Kamar, Guva Kesef v'mishkal Shesh Meot Zahav. That he took Kesef, the amount of Kesef that he took, and that's how Rashi explains, El Ochi Kamar, Kesef Shaveh, he took the Kesef that is worth Shkalim Chamishim Shel Zahav, took Kesef that's worth 50 of Zahav, Gava Mikol Sheve v'Sheve, that adds up to 600. He took Shekel Kesef, he took silver coins from each of the Shvatim that add up to 50 Zahav, and the total of those 50 Zahav is 600 Zahav. That's how you answer the question. The 600, which says Zahav, is the total amount brought by all the Shvatim. The Kesef is the coinage that was used to pay it. That was Kesef, it was silver coins. But it was silver coins that added up to 50 Shekel Zahav for each Shevet, and together they made up 600 of Zahav. That's how he reconciles between them. So there's your answer, Tzvi. Not only do they reconcile about the 50 and to get to the 600, but also between the Kesef and the Zahav. Although it does not read simply, to be honest with you, because the Kesef is mentioned by the 50 and the Zahav is mentioned by the 600. Over here, we're saying that the 50 Kesef were up to the limit. They were made out of Zahav. Up to 50 Zahav, that add up to 600 Zahav. We're saying that the Zahav applies also to the 50, even though it mentions Kesef over there. And we're saying just Kesef means the coinage that was used to pay it. And that was made out of Kesef. Right now, the Gemara continues. Kochim kalim nechalim b'chol machane Yisrael. So we have in our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says, by the kochim kalim in the Midbar, that they were nechalim b'chol machane Yisrael. So now the Gemara says, Amar Rav Huna b'chol makomot Yisrael. B'chol makomot. Anywhere there was a Jew, you're allowed to eat it. So the Gemara's Havamina now is that this means that he didn't have to be in Machane Yisrael. If a Jew left Machane Yisrael, he could still eat Kochim Kalim. That means B'chol Machane Yisrael doesn't literally mean in the Machane Yisrael, but B'chol Mekomot, anywhere there's a Jew. Now, according to the Girsa here, we're going to eliminate this Girsa, according to the Shittim Lubetz of Rashi. We're going to say, Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna. Skip down to the next line. Amalei Rav Nachman Rav Huna, U'machanot v'midbar lo havya. What do you mean? Why are you saying B'chol Mekomot Yisrael, like we say in the other areas of the Mishnah, anywhere the Jews lived in Eretz Yisrael, that was fine. Just like their machanot in the Midbar, so too their machanot in Yerushalayim. Mi Yerushalayim nara bayit machane Yisrael. The city inside the chomot Yerushalayim has the equivalent of machane Yisrael. Mi hara bayit sharnikanor, hara bayit up to Sharnikanor road, up to the doorways to the Azara, machane Leviya. Bikamalech sharnikanor, and inwards machane Shechina. Vein hein klayim shema Midbar, and that's equivalent to what was inside the klayim in the Midbar. Ela ema b'chom makom machane Yisrael. The statement of Rav Huna wasn't b'chol makomot Yisrael, but b'chol makom machane Yisrael. In any part where there was machane Yisrael, it says pshita. I mean, why would you have thought otherwise? What is Rav Huna adding that's not in the Mishnah? The Mishnah says b'chol machane Yisrael. What's he adding? B'chol makom machane Yisrael. What does that mean? So ma'udutema, again, this is something we learned earlier in the Masechta. The ifsil b'yotze, waving pasul b'yotze. What does that mean? That means when they wrapped up the machane and they started to travel, that the Kochim Kalim would automatically become Pasul because they broke down the Machanot Yisrael. Kamash Malon, no, that B'chol Makom, wherever they're going, they're still classified as Machane Yisrael. Even when they're traveling, they're called Machane Yisrael. So therefore, they're not Pasul B'yotzei because it's still classified as Machane Yisrael. Ve'hem ha'chanami. Why not? Well, if you break down Machane Yisrael, why aren't the Kochim Kalim problematic? Why aren't they Pasul B'yotzei? Because the pasuk says, and that's what we had earlier in the Masechta, Makroah, V'nasa Omoed, Afal Pishinasa Omoed Hu. It says V'nasa Omoed to teach you that even when an Omoed is moving, it's still classified as an Omoed. And therefore there's no psul of Yotzei. Over there we had the discussion about why you need the Omoed. What's important about the Omoed? Because the Machane Yisrael and everything that's defined around it is only defined in the context of the Omoed. So you need a din of Omoed in order that the Machane Yisrael would not be classified as Yotzei. So therefore V'nasa Omoed teaches us that when the Ol Moed is moving, and it's still classified as Ol Moed, and the Kochim Kalim are not Psul B'yotzei, and then when they resettle, when the Machanehs open up again, they can eat in the Machane Yisrael. So that's what the statement of Rav Huna was coming to teach us. Right, I'm going to stop over here, because the next statement of Rav Shemayachai goes halfway through the next Amud. Right, so we'll stop here.